Psalms 139.
Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Please join me as we pray. Lord, we come to you today knowing that you are in the highest place. You are omnipresent, Lord. You are here. You are in the living rooms and the places where people are watching or listening. Lord, you are not only there, but you are ruling and reigning. Lord, you are our all-powerful God. And Lord, today we are desperate for you to speak life into the words that are coming forth from me, Lord. We need you to shepherd us today, Good Shepherd. And I pray, Lord, for your anointing today, that you would meet the needs of all who would be listening or watching, Lord, that they would see your greatness and your goodness and your kindness, and, Lord, be overwhelmed by you, Lord. So I pray now that you would use this time to glorify your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how's everybody doing with the stay at home, safer at home? We're talking to a lot of people, and it's getting a little more difficult, especially those of you that are single and don't have a whole lot of little ones running around the house. Parents with a lot of little ones, you're looking at it going, okay, I'm pretty busy right now. I've got a lot of activity around. But I think it's very easy, even with a lot of people around, to feel a little bit alone during this time. We miss contact with people. So it's very easy to feel alone as we're sheltering at home. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I think it's very important that we learn to take our thoughts captive. We have to. We can't let our thoughts run wild with things that are unbiblical thoughts, that we're alone, or even sinful thoughts that God doesn't care. We have to take those thoughts captive, or what happens is we plunge into sin or depression or whatever it might be. And what we have to believe is this, that there is a truth that you are never, ever alone, never, because your perfect heavenly Father is omnipresent and uniquely indwells every believer. The prefix omni is Latin, meaning all, so all present. God is all present. What does that mean? It means that he is present everywhere with his whole being at all times. We read in Psalm 139, 7 through 8. This is just the psalmist saying, where are you? This is a wonderful psalm because it talks about, it begins with God's omniscience. He knows all things, and it goes into God's omnipresence. And we have the famous scripture where it talks about God knowing us while we were still in the womb. He knew all our days before there was yet one. This is Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, you are there. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 through 24, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord, do I fill heaven and earth? Well, the answer is, of course, he fills heaven and earth. What we have to understand is God's omnipresent means that he doesn't move in between places. Even Christ, when he came to the earth, it's not like he left heaven and now there's this void in heaven where Jesus isn't there. And again, we have to remember we have a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are somehow amazingly three yet one. And so Jesus didn't leave heaven and then came to earth, and then he finished his work on earth and went back to heaven in that sense. rather that he, God does not move in between places, nor is he partially in one place and another part in another. In other words, right now God's right hand is on the earth and his left hand is on Mars and everything in between. You see, that's not what this means by God being omnipresent. In Scripture, when it talks about God is near or far, it's not referencing spatially. What it's talking about is morally or relationally. So this is not, that doesn't reflect on God's omnipresence, but rather our relationship with him. It's anthropomorphic language, so we would better understand what it means. The other side of it is this: even though God is omnipresent, everything is not God. Everything is not God. That's pantheism. They believe that. In other words, this pulpit is God because God is everywhere, so this pulpit is God and my Bible is God. That's not what it's talking about, because God, even though he's present everywhere, he is distinct from all things. He is above all things. So somehow he is everywhere, but he isn't everything. He's distinct from that, and so our God is omnipresent. And if God is going to be God, then he has to be everywhere. He has to be everywhere. He's not God. And I think we need to understand it. Just because we don't get it, just because this little gray matter in our heads is kind of short-circuiting at the thought of God being omnipresent, we say, well, how can that be? Just because we don't understand something doesn't make something a lie or not truth. The fact is that if we could figure out God, he wouldn't be God. Just as if he weren't everywhere, he wouldn't be God. So this is a hard concept to grasp in its totality, but we can understand it personally in so many ways. So God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And this is a fundamental truth that we have to grasp, because God's word shares it, is that we must understand that we were, we are, and we will always be in the presence of God. God is omnipresent. That means this: every time we sin, we're in the presence of God. Now, I know we know this intellectually. We get it. But we kind of push it aside because it makes us uncomfortable. But every time we sin, we are in the presence of God, and he is watching. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. It says this: no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. He's omnipresent. And then we go back to the verses that we read, Psalm 139, verses 11 through 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. And this isn't in your on the overhead, but I'm going to throw it in there anyway. Psalm 90, verse 8. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Think about this. There are many things that we would not do if somebody were watching. That's why sin happens at nighttime. You know, I tell my kids all the time, listen, nothing good happens after midnight. Because you're out in the darkness, there's a lot, we think the darkness hides us, and there's something about that. And what happens is if we knew somebody was watching, if somebody walked in the room when you were doing a certain thing or whatever it might be, you wouldn't do it. And the truth of the matter is, there is someone there, and he is watching, and he is our great God. And that's why God is a just judge, in part, because he is a first-hand witness all of the things that happen in the world, all of the things that happen in my life. God is a first-hand witness. So when I stand before him, he's going to be accurate because he was there. He is a first-hand witness. Now God can be ignored. We can ignore God, but he cannot be avoided. There is no place where you can flee from God's presence. Nowhere. That's the point that the psalmist is trying to make, that there's nowhere we can run. So my challenge for you is this: Don't flee from God, but flee to God for salvation, for forgiveness. You see, God is an incredibly loving God. He knew that we were sinners separated from Him for all eternity. There was nothing we could do, nothing. Our good deeds did not eliminate the fact that we sinned and our sin deserved punishment. Just because we had 20 good days doesn't mean that this sin should be just forgotten about. So what God did was He sent His Son Jesus. He lived the perfect life without sin, met the requirements to spend eternity in heaven with the Father, and then went to the cross and died for sins that were not His own. And because He did that, He made a way for all of us who are sinners, separated from God, to be made right with God. He redeemed us. He paid the price for us to be made right with the Father. And then He rose on from the dead 3 days later, got the Father's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So now there's a way to be made right with God. And if you receive that gift of salvation, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's so simple. We want to do something for it, but we can't because it's a gift. It's grace. And then what happens is that God does this miracle because God is in and around everything. And everything has its existence within Him. Again, how that works, I'm not sure, but it's true. But here's the miracle, is that this incredible, omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing God, omnipotent God, all-powerful God, He is uniquely dwelling within a Christian, within you. This God who is omnipresent somehow uniquely dwells within a believer. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Now again, remember, last week we talked about the fact that just because you were created by God doesn't mean you're a child of God. You need to be adopted into His family, then you become a child of God, and that's done by God's grace, not by your efforts. And this is talking about once God grants that salvation and you are adopted into the family of God, the Spirit of God dwells within you. You become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, we have a triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one. And Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to know that your Father is always watching. And He sees all that secret stuff that we do that nobody else does. And the good news is this. We can repent and receive forgiveness. Our Heavenly Father will discipline us because it says in Scripture in Hebrews that those He loves, He disciplines. So actually the disciplining is a sign that you're His child and it's a kindness, not a hard, evil thing. But our Heavenly Father will discipline us, but He will not reject us because of our sin. We need to understand that. The Father will not reject us. He sees those things in the dark places. Yet He still loves us. His love is unconditional. He will not reject us. Instead, He will draw near us as we repent and give us the strength to walk in holiness because He dwells within us. Yet we still try to run from Him, don't we? We sin and the enemy wants us to do that. He says, oh, you know, God's not going to accept you. You know, run away, hide from Him. And that's exactly what Adam and Eve did, didn't they? They sinned against God and then they go try to hide behind the bushes. And God comes into the garden and He goes, Adam and Eve, where are you? Well, He knew where they were. But Adam and Eve thought they could hide their sin from God. They were running and hiding. And we do the exact same thing. But we need to understand that God accepts us not based on our performance, not because we're perfect, because we're not. I'm not. But rather, that God accepts us because of the cross, because of Jesus' performance for us. He did what we couldn't do. So when we fall, when we sin, we know that we can go to the Father and forgiveness is there and acceptance is there and love is there. Our Father's omnipresence is both sobering, as I just talked about, but also very comforting. It's very comforting. Look at God's Word again, Psalm 23, verse 4. We know this famous psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We're not alone. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Then we look at Psalm 139, verses 9 through 10. We read this. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. What a beautiful picture there. Your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. There's a peace, there's a comfort there that God is going to lead and guide us. We're not alone. He is there. As I said, one of the comforting truths of God's omnipresence is the fact that we are never alone. He is there when nobody else will be. He was there when nobody else was. He was there through all the highs and the lows of your life in the past and in the present as you're sheltering at home, as you're safer at home, and you're feeling lonely, and God, I just feel distant from you. I feel just scared, whatever it might be. Know that you are not alone, that God is there. He's there for the highs and the lows of your life, the past, the present, and the future. He'll be there for them all. The highs, when you were born, he was there. I don't know who was in the room with your mom when you were born, but God was there as well. He was there when you took your first step, when you spoke your first word, when you got behind the wheel of the car for the first time and drove down the road, scared to death you were going to put it in the ditch, right? He was there when you graduated. He was there when you got married. And he was there when your first child was born. He was there through all the highs. He celebrated them with you. That's why I love what it talks about in Scripture where it says, mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's a picture of our Father. He rejoices with us as all these highs happen. He was also there for all the lows. One time I got lost in the woods. I was a little guy. I went down fishing, and I remember following this stream, and I thought I'd take the shortcut. And when I tried to take the shortcut, I got lost. And miraculously, I came out in the right area. And I know that that was God. He was there when I was scared, when I was lost. He is there when we sin, as I said. And he doesn't reject us. He gently convicts us of our sin, draws us to himself. But he's there. He's there during maybe physical suffering that you're in. If you have a sickness now, he's not distant. He's there with you, holding your hand, strengthening you. For emotional suffering, you know, if you were emotionally abused or whatever it might be, God is there. He's there to comfort and bring strength. For personal loss, he was there. When you were rejected by someone, you know, you thought, boy, this is the relationship, and they broke it off. He was there. He saw the hurt. He sensed that. If you had an abortion, he was there. He was there. Or an accident. Some kind of an accident. For the highs and the lows of life, God is there. You are never, no matter how difficult the circumstance you have been in or will be in, you do not have to go through it alone because your Heavenly Father is there for you. He's with you. And believing this truth about God, that he's omnipresent, will change fear to faith, that we're not alone. I have this great God who is all-powerful, who knows all things, who is all-wise, who is compassionate. He's with me. So I'm not alone. I don't have to walk in fear. I can walk in faith, putting my hope and my trust in him. But what the enemy likes to do is this. In order for Satan to be effective in a Christian's life, he has to try to convince us that God isn't God. In other words, we hear this a lot of times, this little whisper almost, this thought, where's God now? He's not here, is he? He's abandoned you. He's abandoned you. You see, Satan attacks the character of God in order to cause us to walk in unbiblical thoughts, sinful thoughts. And what happens is that by us saying, no, wait a minute, this is what the truth is. This is what the truth is. Here's the truth about God abandoning you or you being alone or him not caring. The Word of God says that he is omnipresent. that means this. It is not even possible for God to abandon you. It's not possible. God is always there. He cannot abandon you because of who he is. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Quote from the Old Testament. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never. We are never alone. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. Somehow, he is above all things, yet he is there. What a great God. And the thing about him is this. He's not just present. He's not just present. You know, he's kind of there but not there. I know in my life, sometimes I've been there. Dads, you can relate. We can all relate to this. You know, you're busy, you're working on something, and you're there with your kids, right? But you're focusing on the project. So then your kids come and say, hey, Dad, you want to go take a swim with me? And you go, no, not right now. And we kind of think, well, I'm there for them. Well, we are, but we're not. And sometimes I think we can believe that about God, that he's there, but he's not there. He's not connected with us emotionally or relationally at that time. And that's just not true either, according to Scripture. This is one of the ways last week that I talked about where the way we were parented, we have a tendency to view that as the way that God is in our relationship with him. And so if your dad was there but not there a lot, it's very easy to project that onto your relationship with God and say, well, he's there, but he's not really there. I don't want to bother him. He's got a lot of stuff to do. He's running a universe, right? I'm not going to talk to him about this problem I have. I'm feeling sad or whatever. We need to understand that the Father is not just present, but he is supremely attentive and affectionate to all his children. He cares. He cares. And he is a God of detail, so he's intimately involved in every detail of our lives. Every detail. His compassion and care towards you is greater, if you're a parent, is greater than your compassion and care for your own children. Because Scripture says that. Take a look, God's Word, Isaiah 49, 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. A mother may forget her child. Yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. Think of the intimacy there. Think of the intimacy there. I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. And Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God does not sleep. I remember begging for sleep with some of my kids sometimes. You know, you're so tired. I just wish you would go to sleep because I can't do it anymore. Well, God never does that. And I also wanted to point to Psalm 139, verses 17 through 18. Another beautiful picture of God's attentiveness, God's care, God's leading. It says here, Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. God's thoughts towards you are more than all the sands in the earth combined. And it says this, I awake and I am still with you. He's guarding over us. He never slumbers. He's always taking care. And you matter to him. You matter to him. He's not an inattentive father that's there but not there. He's loving you. You always have his full attention. You always have his full attention. And he is never too busy to hear when we come and pray to him. He is never too busy. He will never push you off and say, not now, get back to me later. He is never preoccupied with other problems. He is the God of the universe. He's running everything, holding everything together, sovereign over all things. And you think, man, I don't want to bother him. You're not bothering him. You're engraved in his hand. He has thoughts about you that are greater than the numbers of the sand. You're not bothering him. You're not putting him out. Go to him regularly. You are not bothering him. The issue is not that the Heavenly Father is not available or not attentive. The issue is us. It always is us. It always comes down to us. Not God's lack, but our desperate need for him. The issue is not the Father that he's not available, but it's us. He's present, but we need to become more cognizant of his presence on a moment-by-moment basis throughout the day. We need to walk in the conscious experience of God's presence. There's this, what do they call them? Old dead dudes or whatever? His name is Brother Lawrence, 17th century, right? Wrote this great book, and it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. Next year, when we're in our year of prayer, we're going to be reading through that book as part of what we're looking at growing in our faith. And Brother Lawrence said this. He said, all our actions become small occasions of fellowship with God. Everything. Ladies, putting on your makeup. Guys, going out and starting the car. Driving down the road. Every occasion is this beautiful opportunity to connect with our God. What a great advantage. And it's all about him because he's omnipresent. He's there. When we get up in the morning, let's greet him. Good morning, Father. Good morning. Lord Jesus, I worship you today. When you go to bed at night, Lord, thank you for this day. And throughout the day, have this continual connection with God. He is there. We just need to be more cognizant of his presence and go back and forth in this beautiful communication with him throughout the day. God is in and around everything, and everything has its existence within him. But the miracle is, as I said, he is uniquely within every believer. He dwells within you. That's why you can walk in holiness. It's not about you, it's about him. The Holy Spirit dwells within us and empowers us to walk in holiness. It says in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Rest in that. You don't have to walk in fear. If you know Jesus today, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says in Matthew 28, verse 20, this is Jesus right before he ascended talking to his disciples, and he says this, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Isn't that comforting? We are in the presence of God, and we will be for all eternity. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that this God of love, this God of grace, this God of mercy, this God of compassion, this God of holiness is always with us, even through all eternity. And it's him who secures us. Because he is omnipotent, all-powerful, he can keep us. He can make these promises in his word. He can keep us and hold us to all eternity. We never have to fear about losing our salvation or God somehow abandoning us because of who he is. He keeps us, and we are never alone because our perfect heavenly Father is omnipresent. And it's because of his grace that we will always be in his wonderful, secure presence. That's the truth of God's word. We have a perfect heavenly Father, and part of his perfection is that he is omnipresent. So by God's grace, let's remember that and live moment by moment in more of a connectedness with God as we realize how great he is and what he has done for us and continues to do for us. Let's pray. Lord, we stand in awe of you. We know that this truth in your word about you being omnipresent is there, and we can't grasp it, and we confess that. Yet intellectually we know it, and sometimes we don't live that way. So would you grant your grace, Lord, to open up our eyes that we might live in a way that we would walk in holiness, understanding you're there and you're watching, but also, Lord, that you're there comforting us. You're there leading and guiding us, that we can rest in you, Lord, and that there is nothing, no matter what this world throws at us, coronavirus, isolation, persecution, whatever it might be, Lord, we are never alone. You are there with us, strengthening us, upholding us, and guiding us. Thank you, God, for all that you are. And we pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen.